How many of you are ready to walk into the unknown? Listen, we can walk into anything, church. We can walk into anything with the Lord by our side. Some of us are facing surgery, and I don't know what that does for you, but I know for me, it makes me a little... Amen. A little anxious. Why? Because of the unknown, right? We don't know how this is all going to work. I mean, we know how we want it to work out, but we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. There's people that are in hospitals right now. Big Steve, unless he got out, I hadn't heard that he did. You know, he's still in the hospital. His heart is doing better. I talked to him last night, and he's hoping to get out actually today. But you know, it's uncertainty. We don't know the answer to everything. If we did, man, how smart would we be? Amen. But we're walking into a brand new day, and I did the math. You might have to correct me if I'm wrong, but we have 361 days left before we go through this all over again. And it'll be here about day after tomorrow. That's the way it'll feel. I mean, we just get used to 2025. Now it's 2026. And so we're walking into a brand new year with 361 days left that are filled with potential before us. What are you going to do with your 361 days? You can't do anything about yesterday or the day before that or the day before, but we can do something about the day and tomorrow and the next day. Sometimes a new year feels like we're standing at a crossroads. Hello. Sometimes it feels like we're standing at a crossroads. Some of us are hopeful. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are carrying questions that we didn't really even expect to have. Questions that we don't even have the answers to. But the good news is, we know the one that does. Amen? Amen. We know him. Truth is, no matter how prepared we think we are, none of us really knows what lies ahead. The truth is, we don't even know what lies ahead tonight. Amen? We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know who holds tomorrow. The scripture reminds us that we don't have to know the future to trust the one who holds the future. Hello. Is this getting out? The Christian faith is not confidence in outcomes. It's confidence in God. I'm confident that God is going to see us through another year. I'm confident. I'm confident that God is going to place a Bible-believing man or woman to fill that school board position. I'm confident of that. Why? Because our schools and our children need God back in the classroom, back in the hallways, back in the churches, back in the schools where our kids are being indoctrinated with junk. Boys should not have to come home and ask mom and dad, what are these new boxes in the boys' bathroom? I know we didn't have to. Because in our generation, we knew. Apparently, there's some confusion. I've said it before. If you're confused about your gender, just open your pants and take a look. Clear it right up. Turn with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, You in Proverbs chapter 3? Put your finger there. Put your finger there. Now go to Joshua chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is first, Joshua chapter 3, second. Are you there? If you're there, stand up and let's read God's word. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5, reading through verse 6. Trust in the Lord. We could stop right there. Have an altar call. Trust in the Lord. But it goes on and says, with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Yet in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Now jump over to Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning in verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was that after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it. That you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Father, I certainly need your anointing this morning to not only preach your word, but to get through this message, Lord. I pray that you would take away all the pain. I pray, God, that you would anoint me to preach, Lord, in spite of me, in spite of how I feel. I pray your anointing would be upon your people to receive, Lord, from you this morning, God, to receive not from a preacher, but from your word and from your spirit. And so, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our worship has prepared our hearts for the planting of the seed of the word of God. Lord, may it find a resting place today in fertile ground in our hearts. And everyone said amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When we have an important decision to make, sometimes we feel like we can't trust anyone, not even God. Has anybody ever felt that way? You just can't trust anybody. Let me just tell you this morning that God knows what is best for us. God knows what's best. He's a better judge of what we want than we are. And we have to trust Him. This is where we start losing some right here. We have to trust Him. Because if I trust Him, I give Him control. But we have to trust Him in every choice, and God often leads us where we've never been before. And 2026 is one of those areas that we've never been here before. We've never done this before. There's things we've not done. We've never had a bus ministry in this church, but yet I was asked yesterday, why aren't we using the bus? Why aren't we hauling people to church? I said, because nobody wants to do it. Au contraire. I want to do it. Sick them. Do it. What about Wednesday night for the kids that show up? Heard somebody wants to do that. We haven't been here before. But there's not a sign that we can't get there from here. God wants to do some things. He leads us oftentimes where we've never been before. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4 says, you have not passed this way before. You ever been someplace you hadn't been before? Everything's brand new. Everything's a new experience. In this passage, we have Israel standing on the bank of the Jordan River. They are ready to be obedient. Behind them is the wilderness. They've spent 40 years walking through the wilderness, 40 years of God providing and preparing and caring for them and all those kinds of things. For 40 years, God has walked them through, and they've seen their loved ones die in the wilderness. Why? Because God said, you're not going in. You doubted, you're not going in. For 40 years. The wilderness is now behind them. And ahead of them is the promised land that they could already have 40 years in that promised land, but they did not trust God. They weren't obedient. I think sometimes we don't think God's big enough to do what we need Him to do. But He is. He's proved it over and over and over and over and over. Behind them is the wilderness. Ahead of them is the promised land. And between them, there's a flooded river. Now what are we going to do? We know that that's where we got to get to. We know we don't want to go back to that. But yet, before us is this river. I got to walk into something that is unknown. And God is leading me. I'm standing here and I can't rely on my past experience. Yesterday's blessings aren't going to carry you through tomorrow. Is this working? Kind of quiet in the operating room this morning. They couldn't rely on past experience. You can't rely on yesterday's blessing. They couldn't even rely on, and we can't even rely on, familiar pathways. Because they've never been that way before. He made it clear, you've never been. But what is the Ark of the Covenant? What is that? It's the presence of God. And He said the presence of God is going to go before you. You've never been this way before. We've got GPS now. We don't need the presence of God. Hello? Because they're gone. Well, to some degree, but you can't rely on the past to get you into the present. You can use it to build you, to promote your faith and to say, listen, it worked then, but I need something because I've never been this way before, and what happened in the past isn't going to get you into your future. No, you can't even use familiar pathways. Why? Because there's nothing familiar about someplace you've never been. There's nothing familiar about some place that you've never been. And you can't rely on past experience, you can't rely on familiar pathways, and you for sure cannot rely on your own ability. because you ain't strong enough. Well, you ain't alone, pilgrim. Because there's 100 and some of us in here that ain't strong enough either. But together, church, together, lifting each other up in prayer, fighting for one another, we can make it. We can. You and I, we cannot do it on our own. We have to rely on God's presence. God's presence alone is what's going to carry us through. Think about, I already mentioned this, but I want to talk about it for a moment. But think about using a GPS for the first time in a new city. I remember the first time we went down to Phoenix with all of you guys, and I was driving. Woo! Oh, Jesus. Bill was my navigator. He is running the GPS. And I'm still stuck in the middle of an intersection with traffic going all these directions. Bill says, we got to get out of here. And so I just floored it. We made it by the grace of God, man. Sometimes you just got to give her the gas. You, in using a GPS for the first time in a new city, sometimes never do we ever recognize the streets. You don't recognize the streets. You don't know any shortcuts, but you have to trust the voice that's coming from the GPS, the navigator. Some of you will get that on the way home. I did not say that. You don't know where you're going. But we trust that voice. And in reality, it's an act of faith, not because you can see the destination, but because the guide knows the way. How many of you have ever used a GPS in your car? How many of you ever did not do what it told you to do? How many of you, the moment that you did not do what it told you to do, you just like, in 200 feet, make a right turn. So, you know, you're like, you're talking to somebody. You miss that turn. Instantly. Recalculating. Make a U-turn. How many of you have heard that? In 200 feet, make a U-turn. I ain't doing it. Make a U-turn. I'm not doing it. We're not. That unsafe stuff, we're not worrying about that. Every time we take a wrong turn, every time we miss our exit, every time it says make a U-turn and we ignore it, it goes to the next intersection and finds another way for you to get back on track. Listen, if that is not an illustration and an example of the Holy Spirit directing our life, I don't know what is. Because as our guide, the Holy Spirit knows the way. That's how faith works. God leads us into unfamiliar places so that we can learn to trust Him and not ourselves. Those past experiences that you're talking about, Ralph, those are the things that we build upon precept, trial upon trial, faith step upon faith step that will catapult us into this unknown place. That's the only value that those past experiences have. That's why David was able to face the giant. Because he'd already took out a bear. He'd already taken out a lion. He already knew that God would get him through the battle. He knew that. Based on his past experience. Faith works that way. God leads us into unfamiliar places, so we have to learn to trust in Him and not in ourselves. Trust has to replace control. Trust has to replace control. Admitting that we don't have all the answers. How many men would just slip your hand up a little bit? I don't have all the answers. George, I got a leg up too, George. We have a hard time as men admitting sometimes we don't have all the answers. Trusting God means depending on God rather than on ourselves. Isn't this fun? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? I'm glad you came to church this morning. If you know how awkward I feel sitting here, I hate this. I don't like it. But I pray that my surgery is soon so I can stand and jump and run around and do all my... I got a fellow hernia surgery person right there. Amen. I'm in a place I've never been before. I've never not been able to do anything I wanted to. You can't pick up over 30 pounds. Yes, I can. No, you can't. Watch me. You know we have tools on log trucks that help you to keep from getting hernias? You got to pick it up and use it, though. Takes too much time. Good. Well, we'll see how you like surgery. Slow you down. So many people resist faith because we want certainty first. So many people resist faith because we want certainty first. The children of Israel did not get certainty. That's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Although, to some degree, and I think it's a large degree, they did have certainty because God said, I've given you the land. Go possess it. But they went in, they took a look around. And what'd they see? Giants. We are but grasshoppers in our own sight. Maybe you need a different perspective. God said you could take the land. They said, no, we can't. Okay, spend 40 years in the wilderness until you're dead. How about that? People resist faith because we want certainty. You want certainty? I got certainty. I can give you certainty this morning. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. That's certainty. Everything else is an act of faith. By faith I believe. By faith I'm making heaven my home. By faith and trust in Almighty God. We resist faith because I want certainty. But God calls us to trust first, then walk. Trust Him first and then walk. I've never been this way. Yeah, but if He's guiding your steps, you're going to be all right. Amen. You're going to be all right. Faith is like crossing a bridge in super thick fog. I literally remember one morning going to the woods over on the coast. It was like 3:00 in the morning. Bad weather. Foggy weather. And it was so foggy, if I turned my headlights on, all I could see was the fog. You couldn't see anything. Turn all your lights off, you couldn't see anything. I literally had I had a shovel operator with me, and he had his window down, I had my window down, and we drove to the landing with him saying, "You're getting too close," and me looking out this way going, "I'm up against the bank," and that's how we got to the job. It was so foggy. Trusting God means trusting, and it's like crossing a bridge in super thick fog. You can't see far enough to see the other side, only your next step. Only your next step. The bridge is strong, so you go ahead and move forward, not because you can see clearly, but because you know you can trust the bridge. I trusted in my co-pilot, the shovel operator, to not let me drive off into a canyon somewhere. And he trusted me to not get too close to the bank. But God is the one that we ultimately have to trust in. Jesus doesn't say to us, "Figure it out." I've said that, I think, in every sermon that I've preached, the last three or four sermons. God is not saying, Jesus is not saying to you and I, "Figure it out." He's saying, "Follow me." And when we acknowledge God, it changes the direction of our life. It changes the direction. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, "In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." To acknowledge means to invite him into every area of our life. Every area. It means to surrender my plans. Surrender my plans. It means submitting my decisions to his will. God, what would you have me do? It's where the gospel becomes personal. It's where the gospel, the good news, becomes personal. We don't just need direction, we need a new heart. We need a new heart. We need a new heart. From our perspective, Jesus walked into the unknown for us. Jesus knew what laid ahead. When he was laying in that manger, I believe he knew what was ahead. When he left heaven, he knew where he was going. He knew why he was going. He knew what was going to happen when he got there. Jesus walked into the unknown for us, and it was only unknown from our perspective. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all," the sins of us all. Every sin known to man, past, present, and future, Jesus took to the cross. When you blow it, he ain't saying, "Didn't see that coming." He's not up there wringing his hands going, "Oh God, Lord, Father, what are we going to do about this?" That's not going on. He's already taken care of that. When he left heaven, he stepped into a broken world. I'll tell on you, okay. Mike said it. When he gets to heaven, if Adam's there, he's going to slap him. For not standing up and saying, "Hey, we're not eating it. We're not eating it." Jesus stepped into a broken world. He stepped into, literally, into human suffering. He stepped into the cross. He even stepped into the grave. But the grave couldn't hold him. The cross couldn't hold him. The brokenness of people didn't change his mind. The brokenness of the world that he... I mean, I know we can't really fathom it, but just for a moment, just shut your eyes for a moment and let your imagination take you to what it talks about in Genesis about the Garden of Eden, where he placed his most prized possession, Adam and Eve, and he put them in that garden, and it was beautiful. Everything they ever dreamed of, everything they ever needed in all of God's creation was there at their beck and call. Don't mess with this tree. Don't touch it. Everything that they needed was there. The beauty of that, in that moment when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, the whole world, the garden began in some areas, I believe it probably began to wilt, and it began to lose some of its luster. Maybe the rivers that ran through there started taking on a little mud. I don't know. This thing works different sometimes. But I know it began to change because there was a curse invoked on the land. That better be God calling. He did all of this. The broken world, human suffering, the cross, the grave. He did it all so that we wouldn't have to walk into eternity alone. He's going with us. He'll walk us through that whole process. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Yet, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, so in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Wow. Listen. While we were still sinners. Those words are amazing. Those words are amazing. Every time I read that, I'm amazed. God demonstrated. How did he demonstrate? He demonstrated by sending his son to die for us. We hadn't even made the decision yet to choose him, but yet he, as I think it's an act of faith, because God always leads us by his actions, right? He always demonstrates. And by faith, God sent his son that you and I, in 2020, whatever, or 2019, or whatever, or 19, whatever, whatever generation you come from. I'm looking around, and there's some of us. 19ers. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus died before you got here. He died before you chose him. And he died with you on his mind. He died with you on his mind. Whenever you read this, it let these words, while we were still sinners, that ought to amaze you every time you read it. It ought to just, you ever been told something and it just kind of rocks you back on your heels? This ought to rock you back on your heels. God sent Christ to die for us, not because you is good enough. Some of you have been pretty good your whole life. Some of you have been really good your whole life. I remember fishing on the Deschutes River with a guy from a Baptist church. And I was sharing a little of my testimony with him. And he said, "Well, my daughter doesn't even have a testimony." I said, "She doesn't?" He goes, "Mm-mm." I said, "Wow, that's crazy." He goes, "Yeah." He said, she's lived her whole life in church. She's never drank. She's never smoked. She's never, done anything wrong. She never slept around. In fact, she really hadn't even had a boyfriend. She's just been in church her whole life. And she just, and she doesn't even have a testimony." I said, "I don't know what in the world you're talking about, son, but that's the best testimony I think anybody could ever have." Even even in that environment, she needed a Savior. As good as her dad thought she was, she still needs a Savior. None of us are good enough. He loved you and I even before we ever turned to Him. His death is the highest manifestation of God's love for us. When He died, He was thinking about us, Greg. Whew. We probably gave Him a headache. While we were rebellious and despicable, Christ died for us so that we could come to God, so that we could find peace with Him. Peace that the world can't give, peace that the world can't take away, peace that the world doesn't even understand. And we become heirs of His promises. Thank God for that. Church, we can rest in this. The greatest unknown, death and eternity, has already been faced and it's already been conquered by Jesus Christ. The great death couldn't hold Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. The devil could not stop Him. The greatest step of faith is the first one. The greatest step of faith is your first step. John chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." What's the matter? Somebody was asking for that scripture. Oh, here it is. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This is one of the most basic and most important passages in the Scripture. It's pretty basic. And yet it's vital. How can we know the way to God? Only through Jesus. He's referred to as the sheepfold, the gate into the sheepfold. How can we know? Because Jesus. He's the way because He's both God and man. And so by uniting our lives with Him, we are united with God. Kathy, you can come. We have to trust Jesus to take us to the Father. Let the Holy Spirit become your spiritual GPS. Listen to Him. When He says, "This is the way," walk in. When He says, "Turn to the right," turn to the right. When He says, "Turn to the left," turn to the left. When He says, "Go this way," go that way. And if you choose not to go that way, and He says, "You need to U-turn," U-turn. Make a U-turn. Get back on track. The trip isn't over because you missed your intersection. The trip's not over because you didn't turn where He told you to turn. Trusting Jesus takes us to the Father. Not only that, but all the benefits of being God's child will become ours. I inherit. There's an inheritance the Bible talks about. You know what has to happen for you to receive an inheritance? Somebody has to die. Jesus died. Because of that, we are partakers of his inheritance. Isn't that amazing? We have the benefits of being his child. Some people are trying to walk into the future with religion. Well, if I just do enough good things, if I just go to church enough times, if I just read enough Bible verses every day, if I just pray enough every day, that's religion. Jesus don't give a rip about religion. He's concerned about your relationship. He's concerned about why you're coming to church. He's concerned about why are you reading the Word. He's concerned about why are you praying. What's your motive? Some people are trying to walk into the future with religion. Some people are trying to walk into the future with good intentions. Listen, it's been said that the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. How many people on January 1 made a New Year's resolution and they already blew it? Because it's good intentions. We really want to do this, we really want to do that, but we don't follow through, so we have good intentions. How about self-effort? Trying to walk into the future with religion, with good intentions, with self-effort. How about this one? Maybe we're trying to walk into the future hoping that everything's going to work out. Everything's going to work out. Listen. The only way everything's going to work out is if your trust and your hope and your faith is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. You can't make it on your own. Jesus does not offer us a path. Jesus doesn't offer us a path. Jesus is the path. He's the way. And in the storms of life, when the flood waters are rising, you can either admire you can admire a lifeboat all day long. You can even believe that lifeboat will float. You can like the paint job. You can like the motor. You can like all the life preservers in it. You can like everything you like about the lifeboat, but it'll only save you if you get in the lifeboat. I'm reminded of the guy that was on the roof and a helicopter came by and there was flood. It was, a hurricane and flood and water and everywhere. And a helicopter come by and dropped a ladder down and the guy's like, "No, God's going to save me." Helicopter flies off pretty quick. Here comes a motorboat. The motorboat comes by and he says, "Jump in the boat." And the guy's like, "No, God's going to save me." The water keeps rising and the water keeps rising pretty quick. Here comes a pontoon boat and it pulls up alongside. And he's got, life preservers in these. They're throwing them all to him. And then he's like, put the life jacket on, get in the boat. And he's like, "No, I'm going to be all right. God's going to save me." And the guy drowns. Dead. Goes to heaven. And he says to God, "Why didn't you save me? God said, "Listen, I sent you a helicopter and two boats, man. You rejected them all." Listen, we have to trust in his saving grace. That lifeboat's not going to save you if you don't get into it. Faith in Christ is not intellectual agreement. It's a personal trust in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. You don't even have to be smart to figure that out. I figured it out. Faith in Christ is not intellectual agreement. It's a personal trust in the saving grace of God. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the uncertainty of the new year is for you. All I know is about me. I know that Jesus says that He's the only way to God the Father. That's what He said in His Word. I just read it to you. I know that He also says that He is the way, that He is our path to the Father. I also know that His Word says, as the truth, He is the reality of all of God's promises. He's the reality of all of God's promises. And as the life, He joins His divine life to our life, both now and for eternity. He loves you. He's crazy about you. So much so that He sent His only Son to die for you. Jesus is in truth the only way to the Father. He's the only way. The new year is unknown. All that it has in store for us is really unknown. And much like the children of Israel, as they face the uncertainty of what lie beyond the river, as they dealt with how are we going to get across this flooded river, how are we going to step in, we can't, there's no bridge, they didn't have a boat, how are we going to get across? Jesus is known, and Jesus is trustworthy. He'll get you across the river. He'll get you through your surgery. He'll get you through the uncertainties that lie ahead. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Today. You might not know what this year holds, but you can know who holds you. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. You don't know when your last day is, but you can trust in the fact that no matter if today's my last day, if I breathe my last breath right now, I know where I'm going. Why? Because I put my faith and my trust in Almighty God. I know that. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? Let me say this. Some of us, some of you, some watching by way of the internet, some seated here, some are at the house. But some of us are standing at the edge of the unknown. We're standing at the edge of the unknown. I've never passed this way before. Listen, God is calling you not to try and figure it out, but to trust Him. To trust Him. He's got it figured out if you'll just trust Him. Today you can begin to walk with God, not by trying harder, but by trusting Him. Let me close with this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what He said. That's His Word. That's the truth. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying. Let me ask you this. This morning, as you step into this new year, as you begin walking by faith into this new year, what's it going to look like for you? You got to ask yourself, I'm going to challenge you this morning to ask yourself, am I saved? Am I born again? Am I a believer in the Lordship of Jesus? Have I trusted Christ with my salvation? Am I saved? Not because I go to church, but because I've asked Jesus into my heart. I've surrendered to Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. Let me just get real personal with you right now. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you would make heaven your home, if you're not positive that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Jesus came today that you'd make it into heaven with Him, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because God wants you to know that you know that you know that you know today. Yes, I see it. You can put it down. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I can't afford to leave this house this morning without knowing that I'm going to make heaven my home. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I accepted Him at one time, but man, I've done some stupid things in my life. I'm not even sure I'm saved anymore. But I don't want to leave here today not knowing for sure that I'm saved. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand, because I believe God wants to do a work in your life today. In your life today. Today. Maybe you're here today and you just need prayer. We've got a prayer team that will pray with you. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to get up and come to this altar. I've got prayer warriors that will anoint you and believe with you and pray with you for that thing that you're facing, this uncertainty that you're beginning to walk through. Come. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Bring all your faith with you and let God begin to minister to you right now by His Spirit.
I trust in God,
my Savior.
My Savior,
precious Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
He will never fail.
He will never fail you. Come on.
That's why I trust in God.
Yes.
My Savior, the one who will never
fail. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that you would watch over each one of us as we go from this place today. I pray truly, God, that you'd bring us back, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us from your Gospel of John tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bring us back. Bless our afternoon. Bless these altars right now in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thanks for joining us by way of the internet today. We love you. God bless you. Hallelujah.